Now, if you've got your Bible with you, we're turning to the New Testament and to James and chapter 4, the Epistle of James and chapter 4. We're just going to read a few verses together. While you're looking that up, can I say it's good to see again each and every one. And you know, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, Mr. Smiley announced my birthday last night. And I was sort of glad we celebrated that, because today was a sad day in my life. And I spent most of this day with prison officers who had sadly lost their colleague. In fact, I drove past the incident not knowing that it was Davy Black. And a very, very close friend of mine. And any time I went into the prison, I was always delighted when Davy was on duty. Davy was one of those men, when you're doing the committals, some of the staff would say, the chaplain's here, would you like to see him? But Davy never said that. He always said, the chaplain's here, and you have to see him. And sadly, tonight, Davy's in eternity. True are the words of Scripture, we know not what a day brings forth. And I wouldn't be in much spirit to rejoice even in a birthday. My sister rang me, and I'm sure you didn't have much of a birthday today. Remember that home tonight. Trust that evil men will be brought to the bar of justice. I'm going to read just a couple of verses there from James chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just ask for the Lord's help? Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we bow our hearts before thy throne of grace. Rejoice that God is the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. We thank you, Lord, for every promise you have given us in your word, and especially in that thou hast said, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And while our hearts are heavy tonight, we thank you that there's one standing by to help. And we do commit the Black family to thee. We commit Davy's wife and children to thee, and ask that you'll make all grace abound toward them. And grace their home with your presence in a very special way. And help us, O God, to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. For as Isaac said, I know not the day of my death. We ask that any here tonight without a Savior or backslidden, they might lay hold upon eternal life. Grant us help in the proclamation of thy word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the verse 14, James says, "For you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." We pointed out in the past that the Bible brings to us very forcibly some very, very powerful questions. Questions such as, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Questions such as, how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Questions such as, what shall it profit a man that we gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Questions such as fell from the lips of the Roman governor over 2,000 years ago, what shall I do then with Jesus? And here again we have another question. What is your life? And I would like you to stop, to pause in your heart and your mind for a moment this evening and ask yourself that rather heart-searching question. What is my life? Sometimes as people grow a little older, they sit down and begin to take stock of things. Things that are happening in the world. Things that are happening in their community. Things that are happening in their homes. You run down the years with thoughtful eye, viewing the progress life has made. And I'd like you to view the privileges that life has brought to you. Especially spiritual privileges that maybe in the past you've never really considered. I'd like you to consider the gospel challenges you have heard. Maybe you were brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you had godly parents. They may have sent you to Sunday school, even at times when you didn't want to go, and took you to God's house, and often there was resistance in your heart. And yet tonight you're alive, and you may have gone the way of the prodigal. But I wonder if this night had found you in eternity. Where would you be in eternity? I want you to consider your latter end. I want you to consider this, that soon your season of rescue will be o'er, and soon you will drift to eternity's shore. And in the light of our text tonight, I want you to ask yourself, what is my life? What am I living for? I'm bound for somewhere. I'm bound for eternity. I'm bound for heaven or I'm bound for hell. You know, Job was gripped by those facts. He said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And little wonder the Bible exhorts us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Little wonder we read, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What is your life tonight? And I want to answer that from God's word. I trust that God will take His word and by His Spirit, write it indelibly upon your heart. Men and women and young people, you're not going to live forever. One day the death angel will come. And you and I will be ushered down the corridor into God's eternity. Tell me, where will you be in eternity? Some people say there's nothing after death. That flies in the face of everything the Bible teaches. I've had people say to me, there's nothing after death. And when I ask them, how did they know that? They couldn't give one reason why they said that. But friend, there is something after death. There is a heaven and a hell, and it can be proved from God's word, even from Luke chapter 16, where the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes being in hell. What is your life tonight? Can I suggest, first of all, whether you are saved or not saved, whatever your spiritual state is, we can say on the authority of God's word that your life is borrowed. And from the very first moment that you and I breathed out our first breath in life, we began to die. And we have to acknowledge this, all of us, no matter what age we are, even down to the youngest in this meeting, all of us are living on borrowed time. Every heartbeat, every breath we breathe, every word we speak, every act can only be carried out as you and I receive life from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Him, we live and move and have our being. Now sometimes when people reach 70 years of age, they talk about living on borrowed time. Now of course that is true because the Bible talks about our life being 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. But all of us are living on borrowed time. No man can honestly say, I've gotten this or I've gotten that by the power of my own hand, because everything he has, he has it because of the health and strength and soundness of body and mind and the ability that God has given to him to work and to labor and to toil. But all that is borrowed from the Lord. No matter how powerful a man may be, he's living a life that is borrowed. A young person, indeed an older, may live for pleasure, but only for a season. But every moment spent in their godless pursuit is borrowed. One of our late queens upon her deathbed, she said, I'll give a million of money for a moment of time. But there wasn't one who could step up and claim the million of money. Because there wasn't one who could offer a moment of time. Our life is not in and of ourselves. It is of the Lord. And our time is borrowed. Can I ask you tonight, how do you spend your life which doesn't belong to you? How do you live your days that are borrowed? Are you living as if you were never going to die? Have you ever stopped and thought, where will I be 5 minutes after I'm dead? And our life is borrowed, and it's just for a season. But the Bible tells me that our life is not only borrowed, but it's barren. You see, down in the heart of every individual, there's a vacuum. It is God-shaped and can only be God-filled, and there'll never be fulfillment in a person's life until God has given his rightful place. And I think the parable of the prodigal son, or the story of the prodigal son, bears that out. A young man with a quest in his heart for life. And he couldn't wait till he got to that point in his life where he was old enough that people would stop exercising authority over him. Be his own person and make his own decisions. And he went out into a big world of sin, and the Bible says that he wasted his substance in riotous living, and he spent all, and he put everything he had into getting life. The end of it, it was all barren and empty and fruitless. And when he was at the end of himself, no one took an interest in him. No one cared. So many, like the prodigal, maybe you're a prodigal tonight. Is there a prodigal son here? Is there a prodigal daughter here? And you turned your back upon your Christian upbringing because you thought the way of the world, that's the way of life. My friend, I want to tell you something. The Bible says, and the Lord himself speaking, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you want fulfillment in your life, you'll need the Lord in your life. How empty life can be without the Savior. Maybe like the hymn writer, you can say, I've wasted many precious years. Just like the prodigal. What is your life? It's borrowed every second of it. What is your life without Christ? It's empty, it's futile, it's barren. The Bible reminds us also that our life is brief. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. My friend, if I could convince you, if I could assure you that tomorrow is your last day and you'll be in eternity, would you not turn your back upon your sin and give your life to Christ? But the Bible says we know not what shall be on the morrow. And because we don't know, there's an urgency in the matter of giving your heart to Christ. What is your life? It's a vapor. What's a vapor? You go home from this meeting, you put water in the kettle, you bring it to the boil, and you see the vapor rising up from the boiling kettle. The kettle goes off the boil, and the vapor disappears, and you see that particular vapor no more again forever. That's what the Bible says our life is like. Like vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. To the words of that great hymn, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day, for we're going down the valley one by one, with our face toward the setting of the sun, down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in silence onward flows. We're going down the valley one by one. And as Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days, and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. And to those who are younger, he says, fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have not long to stay. be in time. A Christian man works shoulder to shoulder in his place of work with an atheist. And he tried to witness to this man about his need of a Savior in his life. And the atheist would say to the Christian, "Don't talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about your God or your Jesus or your Bible." He says, "I don't believe in any of those things. In fact," he says, "I don't believe a single word in the Bible." It was the wrong thing to say to the Christian. And the Christian man said, "Well, tell me this. What do you think of Hebrews 9 and 27? He says, "I don't think about it at all, for I don't know what it is." He says, "Let me tell you what it says. It's appointed unto man once to die." Do you believe that? And of course he believed it. Because, folks, every day we're confronted with death. We're confronted with funerals. We're always standing in cemeteries. We are watching people being lowered into Mother Earth. One day it'll happen for me, and one day it'll happen for you. Tell me, where will you be? We can close our minds. We can refuse to think. We don't want to talk about it. Friend, face reality tonight. Because deathbeds are coming. And I walked into the prison today. First words that a prison officer said to me was this: "John, your friend's dead." When he set out from Cookstown this morning, death was not in his thinking. And just as Isaac said, "I know not the day of my death." And because of that, there's an urgency in this matter. For man dieth and wasteth away, the scripture says. And man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? My friend, that's the question. When he gives up the ghost, where is he? The Bible tells us of Lazarus that he died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died and was buried and in hell. Terrible thing to go to hell. In spite of our privileges, in spite of our background, in spite of all the preaching and all the pleading, terrible thing to lose your soul. To lose your wealth as much. And to lose your health is more. But to lose your soul, that is such a loss that nothing can restore. Wouldn't it be an awful thing, friend, to hear God say, "Depart from me, I know you not." And no one will say to death, "Not today." And when people are confronted with the claims of Christ, it's often, "Yea, I know, but not today. Someday, when I'm old, when I'm dying. Oh, just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight." But God says today is the day of salvation. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, because you know not what shall be on the morrow. Mission of this nature taking place. Preacher was going around the community. He was knocking doors. He's giving out his leaflets. He's inviting people to come to the mission. But there was one man, a farmer. He never could get him. And he thought, maybe if I dropped around tea time, he's bound to be doing the work, redding up around the farmyard. And sure enough, called one evening at tea time, and there was the farmer running across the bottom of the yard with a bucket in each hand. The preacher opened the gate. The farmer heard the gate opening, looked towards the preacher, knew who it was, and shouted to the preacher, "Don't come to me today. Don't you see I'm too busy?" And the evangelist said, "Answer me one question and I'll not bother you again." He said, "Tell me, if I'd been death that walked through this gate, would you have said, 'Don't come today, I'm too busy'? Busy people die." Friend, are you too busy to think about your latter end? Too busy to make preparation for eternity? Too busy to seek the Lord? Death will stop you in your tracks and say, "Come with me." That pale rider on his horse in Revelation will lay his cold and steely hand upon our shoulder, and he will usher us out of time and into eternity. And nobody will say, "Not today." Today is an important day. Might never be another day like this in your life. Hence, there's the matter that needs to be dealt with urgency, that matter of your soul's eternal salvation. What is your life? It's borrowed, friend. Without the Savior, it's barren and it's empty. You see, the catechism says, what is man's chief end? And that means, what is man's real purpose for being alive? And answers, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But sadly, man's chief end tonight is to live in sin. Life is brief. Can I say this also? What is your life? Your life is brittle. Not only is life's span very, very short, but life's tread is very, very slender. Someone illustrated it as like hanging out across a merciless ocean, and every moment the clock ticks, a giant moth gnaws away at that slender thread, and one day that thread will break and plunge you into eternity. And my friend, how will it be with you then? You remember when Saul wanted and tried to kill David, missing him by a hair's breadth. David ran into the presence of his friend Jonathan. He said, "Jonathan, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. And friend, we're only a step from eternity. We're only a breath from heaven or hell." Because our life is very, very brittle. Friend, whatever you do, don't risk your life upon an uncertain tomorrow. Tomorrow may be just eternity, hidden from your view. But let me close with this thought. What is your life? Your life can be blessed. Because the Bible says this, Psalm 32 and verse 1 and Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." You know, when Adam sinned, he tried to cover his sins with fig leaves. Doesn't work. There's many in Ulster tonight, and they try to cover their sins by their good works, by their religiosity, by the sacraments of the church, and all the... It doesn't work. There's only one place you can cover sin, and that is the blood of Christ. Because God went in the garden and God made a covering of skins for Adam and Eve. In other words, he killed a beast, he shed its blood, and he fleeced the beast, made a covering for Adam. That's what atonement means, to cover over. And that's why Jesus laid down his life and shed his blood, the ransom price of our sin, to cover over our sin, to make a covering for us, to make a full atonement. Through the words of the hymn writer when he says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And thank God that that blood still avails for sin and for uncleanness for the vilest offender who truly believes this moment from Jesus, a pardon received. My friend, whatever your sins are, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Why try and hide your sin when you can bring them to the blood of Christ and have them all blotted out? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Remember conducting a gospel campaign up in Tullyvallen, that's right up on the South Armagh border, and it was just after the Orange men were shot in the Orange Hall. Remember a man came across from the border in South Armagh, and he came to the mission. And he got wonderfully saved. And after the mission had finished on the Sunday night, we had a sort of a praise service, and new converts would give a wee word of testament just to get them started in the Christian life. And I'll never forget his words. He says, "I came across the county bridge a sinner. And the same night I went back across the county bridge a saint. Saved by the blood of Christ." Friend, are you saved tonight? Remember, your life is borrowed. Remember, your life is very brief. Doesn't matter how long you live, it'll be but for a very short time. And we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Thank God your life can be blessed tonight with God's salvation. And Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Davy Black set out in prime of health and strength this morning. It all ended in a very short space of time. And friend, there's the last day in all of our lives, and the last word to speak and the last step to take. Very important that you're right with God, saved by his grace. Maybe there's a backslider. You like to die in that backslidden state? Isn't it time to seek the Lord again? And here we are tonight in the atmosphere of this meeting. Got your health and strength, your soundness of body and mind. And Jesus says, "Come, therefore, friend, come." Lest tomorrow you're a day too late. Seek the Lord. Do it now in this meeting. I wanted to say this. Make your decision in this meeting. The moment you step outside that door, the enemy of your soul will fill your mind with everything else. You need to trust Christ now. Would you do it? Let's bow together for prayer.
as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're in God's presence tonight, let's just be still, please. If God has spoken to you tonight, and you know that you need to be saved and get right with God, I wonder just now, as God's people are in prayer, and God has spoken to you tonight, you say, I'd like to be a Christian, I'd like to be saved. I wonder just now, would you raise your hand above your head? We'll remember you in the closing prayer. Is there one? Maybe you're a backslider. Want to come back? Let me see your hand. Just raise it so that I can see. Come tonight. Don't miss the opportunity. Come to Christ tonight. Is there one? Lord, we ask of Thee to speak on. And we ask of Thee to deal with hearts tonight. In need of Thy salvation, bring them to Christ. The backslidden ones, bring them back to their first love. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 230, Life at Best is Very Brief.